this opportunity to worship together, to be able to come and share these songs of praise and worship. We thank you for all who have gathered to be a part of this celebration today. We want to lift up those on our prayer list, Lord, and we continue to just ask for your hand of comfort and peace. Thank you, Lord, that you invited us to come to you with no other mediator, but to come directly through you. And you gave us these words as a guide. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
ago, I was pulling out of the church parking lot, stop sign. I just pulled up. Nobody was coming. Pulled out onto the street. The blue lights flashed. Pulled me over. I said, "Yes, officer." And he says, "You went through a stoplight. You didn't come to a complete stop. I'm going to have to write you a citation." Well, so he wrote me a citation, but he said, "We're having a blood drive at the courthouse this week. And if you come to the blood drive, the judge will throw this ticket out." I'll be there. We were going to have a blood drive at the church the next day. So I missed that one and I went to the courthouse. My ticket was paid with the price of blood. That our sins were paid with the price of the broken body of Jesus and the blood that he shed for the remission of our sins. A much greater price indeed. Let's partake of the bread as we remember his sacrifice of his broken body. And as we remember the cup that he lifted to his disciples, and he said, "This is my blood. It is shed for many for the remission of sins." Let's remember Christ's sacrifice of the blood that was shed, the lifeblood to give us life. Thanks be to Christ, the bread of life, and the hope of salvation. This time, let's pray for our offering, another part of our worship. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us. We thank you that you've given us health blessings. You've even given us wealth blessings, although most of us wouldn't say we're wealthy. We know we're blessed. So, as the gifts are given back for your glory, we pray your blessings, Lord, on each gift and on the gift. In Christ's name. Thank you.
reading this morning is John 20, 24 through 29. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hand, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas went to them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord, my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet they have believed." Thank you, Lord, for your word.
Thank you all for being here. Give everybody. Hey, I introduced the band.
Oh,
Well, I've been here long enough that I guess I should tell you a little bit about my background. It's bad. I mean, I had a drug problem in my younger days. Matter of fact, it was when I was 6 years old. I got drugged in Sunday school. I got drugged in church. And all of a sudden, I was getting drugged to church on Sunday night, youth group, and then drugged to church on Wednesday night. And by the way, Sunday night, I was missing the wonderful world of Disney. You know, when you didn't have DVRs and VCRs and all those R's back then, you just had to watch it live on one of three TV channels, kids. Can you imagine that? Three TV channels. Some of you may have only had two TV channels, but you had to watch it live and in person. And so then they come up with this thing, what? School in the summer? Vacation Bible School? And I got drugged there. And then revival meetings. Now, kind of kidding about all that, but I remember sometimes because with the church I grew up in, we had Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. And sometimes it seemed like the preacher was just kind of, in a gentle sort of way, almost had four tiers of Christians. The first tier was, you are an excellent Christian if you go to Sunday school and church and Sunday night and Wednesday night, you know what I'm saying? Now then, you might be just a little bit less than exceptional if you miss one of those. But then if you only hit two of them, you're probably a little bit lower tier. And if you only come to the one, then you feel your toes getting stepped on a bit, you know. And the funny thing about it is, I don't think that all of our study and all of our worship is inclusive of this building. You know, we've got other times. By the way, I'm doing a Bible reading plan called Navigators, and they have a through-the-year Bible program. You can start it on month 6. I encourage you to go look for that. And just to spend some time at home in the Word of God. So anyhow, if you miss church, you know, don't feel like we're going to talk about you, because we're not. We even got Facebook Live. And by the way, I was with you all last week on Facebook Live and got to hear Barry. Not the same as being with you all, but it's nice to be able to connect in that way. Now, it's okay though, if you miss. We're just always glad to see you. There was a guy that we're going to talk about this morning who missed a Sunday evening, Sunday church service. His name was Thomas. Thomas gets kind of a bum rap. Thomas was called
Doubting
Thomas. And matter of fact, if you may have been caught, you're just a Doubting Thomas. Have you ever been? Yeah, you know, your parents might have said that. You're just a Doubting Thomas. Hey, would somebody cut the PA off, please? Mm-hmm. Thank you. I hear all that ringing going on. It's not good for me to hear ringing in my head while I'm trying to preach. So, anyhow, Doubting Thomas. And the funny thing about it is, Thomas' issue wasn't any different than the other disciples. Look here in verse 19. You know, it was the first day of the week, And the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, and they were shut for fear of the Jews. Now these are the same disciples that when Mary Magdalene and the women ran to say, "We've seen Jesus, he's alive, he's risen," and they would not believe. So Jesus shows up here and he says, "Peace be to you." He probably spoke in Hebrew, "Shalom." And he says, "Peace I bring to you." And then as he did it, he shows his hands and his side. Now, I find it interesting, Jesus was in his glorified body, yet they could still see the piercings of the nails and the spear. And I think that that was because God wanted it to be that way, for these disciples to see something that would tell them, "Yes, I see it." And so every one of the disciples saw the nail prints in his hands and the scar in his side. And so then these disciples, they believe, and then they run into Thomas and they say, "Thomas, Thomas, he's risen, just as he said." And Thomas, he doesn't say, "Well, I have my doubts." No, he doesn't. He says, "No, I don't believe." That's not quite a doubt. That's, "I don't believe." And so he says, "Unless I can see the nail prints in his hands and the scar in his side, I will not believe." You know, it's like, "Peter, you're a stand-up guy. You know, I trust you in most things, but I'm just not buying this. John, you know, I like your brother, but no, just can't go with this. Unless I see with my own eyes, I won't believe." And so we call him Doubting Thomas, but he did exactly the same thing that all the disciples did. So Jesus again says, "Peace. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, they had the Holy Spirit. You say, "Well, then what happened on the day of Pentecost?" On the day of Pentecost, there was just a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit for something spectacular that God was doing. But they had the Holy Spirit with them. Then he says something that's caused a lot of confusion. "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now, there's a couple different thoughts that the commentators write about this. One is that it was a special apostolic circumstance. That was those who were the apostles who had witnessed the resurrected Christ in that apostolic office that they were able to pronounce this. I don't think that's the way it was. Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19-20. He said to his disciples, "Go into the world, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I commanded, and I'll be with you even to the end of age." And in pronouncing the Great Commission in Mark 16, he says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." And I think this is just John's expression of, you go into the world, you preach forgiveness of sins. If they receive it, their sins are forgiven. If they reject it, their sins aren't forgiven. Now, there are some who believe that the church has an apostolic office. And I don't mean to pick on anybody's religious background or anything, but there was this elderly lady who was Catholic who converted to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, recognizing that he is the mediator between God. He's the one that we go to the Father, not any priest, not anyone else. And so anyhow, her family, when she was getting really close to her death, thought that she needed a priest. And so, you know, I see that sometimes in the work that I do with hospice, that, you know, I've even had one who wasn't even Catholic who thought maybe I should have a priest come. And it's like, so anyhow, this priest comes and he takes that lady's hand and he says, "I absolve you of your sins." And she says to him, "Let me see your hands." And she looks at his hands. He says, "Okay." She says, "You, sir, are an imposter. The one who absolves me of my sins has nail scars in his hands." Wow, that is true. The one who absolves us of our sins is the one who died on the cross. Not the disciples, not the apostles. They were proclaimers of the message. So now we come to Thomas. And again, Thomas has been called Doubting Thomas. But you know, Thomas is mentioned three times in the New Testament, and every one of them sheds really a pretty good light on him. The first one was in John chapter 11 when we read about, three times that he was in conversation. John chapter 11, when Lazarus had died and Jesus had just come from that area to get away because of the Jews trying to kill him. And then he hears about Lazarus dying and he says, "We need to go to Bethany." Thomas said, "We just came from there. The Jewish leaders are trying to kill you." He says, "I'm going." You know what Thomas said? You can look back in chapter 11 later and you'll see it. But Thomas said, "Well, then let's all go and die with you." Now, I don't know. A little bit of sarcasm, maybe. Don't know. But I do know this, they went. They went back with Jesus, and they didn't die then, but they went back with Jesus to Bethany. So I look at Thomas in that instance, and I see courageous Thomas. He speaks up and says, "Okay, I'm in, let's go. If you're going there, I'm going with you. Whatever happens to you, happens to me. I'm going." Courageous Thomas. The next time was in John 14, if you remember, where Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And then he says, "The way that I'm going, you know." And Thomas speaks up and he goes, "Excuse me, Lord. We don't know whether you are going, and we don't know the way." And of course, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." But you know, Thomas is that person that's sitting in a group when you got a question, but you're intimidated by the group, and you're thinking people are going to think it's a stupid question, so I don't want to ask it. And Thomas is that person who asks the question, and you go, "Yes, I was thinking right." Thomas was not afraid to ask the question, to ask questions. So I think of him as curious Thomas. But then we come to the passage that we're looking at now, and we see that when Thomas saw Jesus, here's what he said.
my Lord and my God. Concise, Thomas. See, that's a great statement of faith. We've got our BCC affirmation. It's a great statement of faith. Some churches have pages of a statement of faith. Thomas just put it right in a nutshell. My Lord and my God. Concise, Thomas. And you know what I really find interesting? The only disciple that I ever saw the word doubt applied to was Peter. But we don't call him Doubtful Pete. You know, we don't. But when he was walking, he stepped out of that boat, was going to walk toward Jesus. Jesus said to him, when he took his eyes off of him, he began to sink. He said, why did you doubt? He never said that to Thomas. Thomas got a bum rap, I'm telling you. It's not fair. This guy has to be remembered all throughout life on this earth as a doubter, when he was probably the most honest one, saying, no, I don't believe unless I can see it. Now Jesus says, blessed are those who believe, who have not seen. And that could be applied to all the other disciples. And that would apply to us as well. Sometimes maybe you'd say, well, if I could just see him, we've got his word. We've got all the testimonies. Did you know at one time there were 500 witnesses to the resurrection? They saw the resurrected Christ. You know, one or two people is considered good witnesses, but 500? We've got such great testimony. John concludes this chapter saying that there's so many things not written that Jesus did. You say, well, we don't have it all. There's not volumes that would contain everything Jesus did. What we have in God's Word tells us about His love for us, His grace for us, His forgiveness to us. And you know what I get in this passage? God's not sitting there waiting to scold us and to wrap our knuckles or anything. What did Jesus say? Peace. I come to bring you peace. No greater way to find peace than through the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. My guess is everybody here knows the Lord. But I always like to offer an invitation because it's the Lord's invitation. In case there's somebody sitting there that the Lord is stirring your heart, we just want you to feel welcome to respond as you feel the Lord would lead. Let's pray, and then we'll send our invitation. Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness, for your grace, your mercy to us. We thank you that even in the midst of when we're walking in the wrong direction, you still come to us and speak peace. In the midst of struggles, you speak peace. And that's my prayer, that everyone here will have a sense of your peace today. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stay in the center of the church.
Thank you.
today again. Give a hand to our family friends. Continue doing this with you folks. Just glad that you joined us and welcome our visitors. And it's great seeing everybody, especially with me being gone last week. It's great seeing you. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather together to worship and to have fellowship with each other. We thank you for each person here today. And we just speak the word that you gave to us, peace to them. In Jesus' name I pray. God bless you.